Being born again into the kingdom of God is the most important decision you will ever make in your life. And I want to encourage you today as we go through God's joy. Oftentimes we get confused because we think God's joy should be continual all the time and there shouldn't be trouble. We're going to be talking about God's joy when we get confused with life, because it's easy to get confused with life. So if you'll stand with me right now, we're going to do a short reading from God's Word found in John 16, starting at verse 16. Jesus went on to say, "A little while, you'll see me no more. And then after a little while, you'll see me." And some of his disciples said to one another, "What does he mean by saying, 'In a little while, you'll see me no more, and then after a little while, you'll see me'? And because I'm going to the Father." They kept asking, "What does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he's saying." Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about it. So he said to them, "Are you asking one another what I meant when I said, 'In a little while you'll see me no more, and then after a little while you'll see me'? Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You'll grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because of her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will become complete. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day, you'll ask in my name. I'm not saying that I'll ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you've loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came down from the Father and entered the world, and now I'm leaving the world and going back to my Father." Then Jesus' disciples said, "Now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things, and you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God." "Do you now believe?" Jesus replied. "A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you'll be scattered each one to your own home. You'll leave me all alone, yet I'm not alone, for my Father is with me. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world." Father, help us to take heart. Lord, we live in very confusing times. It seems like we just get up, and the news knocks us off our feet again. Family news, national news, international news. Lord, in these confusing times, teach us about the joy of the Lord. And Father, we'll be sure to give you the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Some people debate the historical accuracy of this, but it's a wonderful story, and I love to tell it. After delivering a moving speech, this was back at the foundation of our nation, he gave a moving speech on the fact that the government, this is Benjamin Franklin, was going to guarantee the pursuit of happiness. And a heckler, now we've seen a lot of heckling at different political functions lately, so we know all about heckling. A heckler out in the crowd said up, "Hey, Franklin, where is this pursuit of peace that you're talking about?" On phrase, Benjamin Franklin answered, "The Constitution only guarantees that the American people have the right to pursue happiness. You have to catch it." Folks, Our Lord talked about joy 7 times on his last night on this earth before he was crucified. 7 times. I want you to think. You know what's going to happen tomorrow morning. If you were in Jesus' shoes, you know tomorrow morning you're going to go to the cross. Tomorrow morning you're going to have spikes driven through your wrist and through your ankles, and you're going to bear the sins of the whole world. You know that tomorrow morning, for the first time in all eternity, God the Father is about to turn his back on you. For the first time in all of the history of everything, God's going to reject his Son. And yet Jesus is speaking about joy. It's important to understand here, 7 times in this gospel, chapters 15 through 17, this is the last talk that Jesus has. This is when he brings up the communion, and this is the time when he's given his disciples his last words, John 13 through 17. In John 15 through 17, 7 times, he tells us how to have the joy of the Lord. John 15, 11 says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. You see, Jesus is offering us the joy of God himself, because Jesus is God. Jesus was our Creator God who came to this earth born of a virgin. He's God in flesh. He was both God and man. Most of you know John 3:16. It says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That word only begotten in the Greek is the monogenes. He's the totally unique one. There's never been another like him, both God and man. It seems a contradiction, but God made it happen. So he says, these things I've spoken to you that my joy might be remain in you and your joy might be full. John 16, verse 20. Very truly I tell you that you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You'll grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. John 16:21. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. And verse 22, so with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. John 16, verse 24, until now you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you'll receive, and your joy will be complete. John 17:13. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. We have changes and challenges in our lifetime. Most everybody in this room, in fact, everybody in this room right now, lived through the COVID-19 pandemic. You know, before that, it was way back in the early 1900s, the last time our nation had a nationwide pandemic. Children didn't go to school. We're still reaping from that. Socially, mentally, emotionally, many of those children are scarred for the rest of their life because of decisions that were made. Today, many of us are grieving. This afternoon, I hope you can watch it. Charlie Kirk's memorial is going to be today. Many of us grieved over that. The loss of a young man, 31 years old, that stood up for God, that stood boldly for the truth of God's word, taken out in a second. Folks, that's something to grieve over. But we don't grieve like those that have no hope. Where's Charlie Kirk today? Charlie Kirk's not in a casket. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. God's going to raise up more people just like Charlie Kirk. I don't know if you understand this or not, but the church has grown through the blood of the martyrs. those men and women that died for their faith. I don't care if it's Africa. The greatest revival going on in the world right now is going on in Africa. And people are being put to death for their faith in many nations of Africa. But Africa is the largest, fastest growing church. And when I say church, I'm not talking Methodist, Catholic, Baptist, Lutheran. I'm talking the church of born again people who have received personally Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because people are willing to die for their faith. Charlie Kirk knew what could happen. He knew time was there. And folks, I want to tell you, he's not the only one. Many have died for their faith, and God just keeps lifting up more. We can rejoice, even as our hearts are bleeding over some of these things. God promises his joy. Just as Benjamin Franklin reminded a detractor about the Constitution, what it said about happiness, we need to learn God's Word, because God's Word is our Constitution. We need to know, number one, what is God's joy? Number two, what brings God's joy? And number three, what keeps God's joy going in our hearts in the midst of all the trouble? Because Jesus said in this life, you're going to have what? You're going to have trouble. But he said, take heart. I've overcome the world. Folks, this is important teaching because you're going to go through some times of trouble. So am I. It's just part of living in this sin-cursed earth. It's going to be sin-cursed until Jesus Christ comes back physically again. Until that time, we are all going to know death in our families and our loved ones. We're all going to know pain and suffering and sorrow. But in the midst of all that, we can have the joy of the Lord. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Folks, we need to know what makes God happy. What brings him joy in our lives? Because once we understand that, life changes. Once I understand, as long as my Father's happy with me, I'm going to have his strength in my heart. When he becomes disappointed in me, some of that strength isn't going to be there available to me. And when I really let him down, I may not have hardly any of his strength. Folks, I've been in all those situations since I've been a Christian. And so we need to learn together what the Lord tells us. We're confused sometimes, but our Lord's plan sometimes is confusing. In this time, in the disciples' time of life, they really believed from the Old Testament teachings, the way they were taught in their synagogues, that when the Messiah came, he was going to set up a kingdom. He was going to overthrow the Roman rulers. He was going to be the king, and his apostles were going to be the great men of his time. I think it's about six or seven times when you study the four Gospels, you see the disciples arguing among themselves, which one of us is going to be the greatest in God's kingdom? Each one thought they ought to be the number two guy or the number three guy. Folks, it didn't work the way they thought it was going to work. Sometimes we think we know what God says. I've been studying the Bible now 53 years. I've been a Christian 53 years. And a lot of times I think I got it all figured out, and then God does something different. I say, wait a minute. That's not what I studied. That's not what I learned. And so we have to go back to the book again and find out what we missed. Because none of it have it all together. Folks, there are things about God that I still don't understand. And that's not a problem. It's just the reality that God is beyond our human comprehension. Our Lord wants us to know when life gets confusing, he has a purpose in that too. I don't know how many of you remember Woody Allen. He was a comedian years ago. Woody Allen was not a very nice man. But there was one thing that Woody Allen said that I thought was true. He said, if you want to make God laugh, tell him about your plans. Because his plans are different than our plans. In fact, in Isaiah, it says, your ways are not my ways, and your thoughts are not my thoughts. Folks, we have to get used to that. We think God should work the way we think he ought to work. But he's God. He is sovereign. He rules the way he wants to rule. He does the things he wants to do. And our choice as a sheep, shepherd, relationship is I can follow him and obey him, or I can rebel against and run away. In John 16, verse 16, Jesus went on to say, in a little while, you'll see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me. At this, some of his disciples said to one another, what does he mean by saying, in a little while you'll see me no more, and then after a little while you'll see me? And because I'm going to the Father. They kept asking, what does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he's saying. I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus had told them three or four times before this time that I'm going up to Jerusalem. I'm going to be turned against by the religious leaders. The rulers are going to turn me over to be crucified. But they didn't get it. Why? Because their theology and their teaching taught them that when the Messiah comes, the kingdom's going to be right by it. It's just right together. But the teaching wasn't right. You need to be careful what you're being taught. You need to study yourself to show yourself approved unto God, a workman or woman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Because what they were taught was not the truth. In Isaiah 52 and 53, if you're interested in a nice read, it tells you that the Messiah that was going to come is going to suffer. He's going to be buried. He's going to raise again. It's all there, but the people weren't being taught that. They were being taught what the religious leaders thought they wanted God to do. God has a plan. And again, if you study the scriptures, you know what's coming. You just don't know when. So don't get ahead of the Lord and don't run ahead of him, because you're going to get yourself in trouble. It's like a little child. You're in the city and there's a lot of cars going by, and you're walking down the street with your children, and what do children want to do? They want to run ahead. What can happen when they run ahead? Folks, it's really easy for a little child that's running ahead to run out. Same thing is true for us older children. When we run ahead of the Lord, it's easy for us to run out and get smack into trouble. Our Lord wants us to follow him. The confusion here is like the confusion of a little child. I just had my daughter come home from Florida for a few days. She went back now. But she's got a little granddaughter now, my great-granddaughter, and they play peekaboo. I love to watch little children playing peekaboo because they get so excited. My daughter just put her hands over her face like she's hiding, and then peekaboo, and the little ones just laugh and laugh and laugh. Folks, that's the way sometimes the Lord is with us. He's playing peekaboo and we don't get the joke. Folks, God has a sense of humor just like we have a sense of humor. Sometimes we get scared playing peekaboo. I've seen little children get scared. Whoa! But we don't have to be scared. The reason we get scared is because we think, oh, this could hurt. But God loves us. And even the hurts of life, God chooses to use for our good. And once we get used to the game God's playing, we can trust him. And that's when the joy starts. In John 14, verse 16, this again is this last night, the Last Supper. And I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you'll realize that I'm in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Folks, in the person of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ lives in my heart today. If you have personally received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit lives in your heart today. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit, not the temple, because that's been destroyed in Israel. But today, the Holy Spirit lives in people. And so your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. One reason Scripture is timeless is because people never change. What used to frustrate people years ago is still what frustrates people today. Jesus said, a little while. What's the first thing a child says when you're on a trip and you say, we'll be there in just a little while? How long is a little while? Because it differs, doesn't it? Sometimes for an adult, a little while is a day or two. For a child, how long is a little while? 10 seconds, maybe? I want to be there. Our Lord wants us to know that how long is the question that people have been asking way, way back. It started right at the beginning. King David is a good example here. In Psalm 13, verse 1, David says, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Folks, we've all asked that question. How long does this pain from this particular hurt have to last? Lord, I'd like it to be over. How long is my heart going to be broken over the loss of a loved one? Lord, I'd like you to heal the hurt. Folks, he doesn't tell us, does he? He says, trust me. Wait on me. We love the fact when the Lord brings it to pass, but we don't like the wait. David was waiting to be crowned king. King Saul is after him to kill him. He's got thousands of soldiers looking for David. And David says, how long does this have to last? Folks, we have the same thing. Not only is God's timing confusing, but the circumstances the Lord allows into our lives can be very confusing. He explained in an earlier chapter, did his disciples had plans for their future that God would use them in the millennial kingdom. Because the Bible does say, in time, God is going to set up a 1,000-year reign on this earth. Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign from Jerusalem on this earth for 1,000 years. And the disciples thought, sure enough, it's now. They saw themselves on the road to becoming historic figures that were going to be great in the kingdom of God. But Jesus is explaining to them, I'm leaving. What do you mean you're leaving? You're just a young man. You aren't done yet. We got to set up the kingdom. No, I'm going to the Father. You're going to have to wait for the kingdom. How long? A little while. We mentioned a little while for a child is 10 seconds. A little while for an adult may be 2 days. How long is a little while for the Lord? It's been 2,000 years now. And we're still waiting. I want to tell you, it's worth waiting for. One of these days, we're going to be in that millennial kingdom. We are going to rule and reign with Christ. I don't know what office you're going to hold. I don't know what office I'm going to hold. But we're going to be there for that whole 1,000 years. And then in the eternity of heaven, we're going to be with the Lord. Is it worth waiting for? I'm going to tell you, it's well worth waiting for. In John 16, verse 19, Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this. So he said to them, are you asking one another what I meant when I said in a little while you'll see me no more, and then after a little while you'll see me? Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You'll grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. Folks, what Jesus is saying here very clearly is these people are frustrated by their circumstances. Most frustrating time. If you can understand what's happening and why it's happening, you're usually not quite so frustrated. But when you have no idea why this is happening and how long it's going to take, that is frustration with exclamation points. When circumstances break our dreams, they break our plans, they break our hopes, that's when we need the joy of the Lord. God's joy is not temporary solutions. When a little child has a toy that breaks and they start to weep, oh, it's just, oh, what's the solution most of us give? We give him another toy. And he's really happy until what happens? Until that toy breaks. Jesus is not giving us here a quick solution to our problem. We have a problem. Whether you know it or not, everybody in this room, everybody in this world has a problem. The problem is sin has separated us from God. And there's nothing we can do to make it right. Jesus Christ came not to give a little toy. Okay, we're going to take away Roman rule and I'll set myself up as king and you'll be the big shot. A little solution. But what Jesus came for was to bring salvation to mankind. Jesus came to handle the problem in life that you and I cannot handle. There's nothing I can do about my sin. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus Christ came into this world, and when he came into this world, John the Baptist at Jesus' baptism said what? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That's why he came. He didn't come the first time to proclaim himself king. He came to present himself as Savior. And once you understand that, everything changes. Yes, he's going to be king. Yes, he's going to rule and reign. And yes, we're going to rule and reign with him. But we have to take care of something first. I'm separated from God. And I can't make it right. The only thing I can do is trust in Jesus Christ. His shed blood on Calvary washes away my sin. And it's so important you understand that. Because life doesn't make sense until you know who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ was not just a man. Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. God born of a virgin. God living a perfect life as a man and then shedding his blood to pay for your sin and mine. Once you understand that, life takes on a brand new meaning. Now you've got a possibility not only to be saved, but to walk the rest of the days of your life in the joy of the Lord. Rejoicing even when things are confusing. Rejoicing even when things seem to be against you. Remember Jacob, the father of the nation of Israel? Jacob said when his son Joseph was sold away as a slave, he thought he was dead. Jacob said, all this is against me. You can come to that point in your life if you don't know the scriptures. You can say, the death of my wife, the death of my husband, the death, sadly, sometimes of my child, all this is against me. God, this shouldn't happen. Or you can say, Lord, you have a purpose here. I don't understand it yet. But I'm going to trust you in this, and I'm going to wait on you to reveal why. Because it's such an important question, isn't it? When the bottom drops out of your life, and it will from time to time, I don't care who you are, I don't care how holy you try to live, the bottom is literally going to drop out of your life sometimes. That's when the joy of the Lord comes in. That's when those who really know the Lord, we don't get a quick fix. We get a faith. We get to choose to trust God in spite of circumstances, because the circumstances are so confusing in this life. He said, you're going to weep, but the world's going to rejoice. When Charlie Kirk was shot, hopefully you wept a little, or at least you had sadness in your heart. But what did the world think about that? Whoa, this is great. That guy's dead. He was a liar and a cheat and a thief. And folks, he wasn't any of that, but that's what the world says because they hated him. Jesus said if the world hated him, they're going to hate us. If you're going to live for God, all out, all in, the world's going to hate you. Not because you're a hate person, but the things you say they're going to hate because they don't believe in Jesus Christ. They don't believe his word is the truth, and they're not going to believe you, and they're not going to like what you have to say. Jesus told his disciples the truth. It's better for you that I go, Because if I don't go, the Comforter's not going to come. But if I go to the Father, I will send the Comforter not only to be with you, but to be in you. And He'll give you comfort in every situation if you'll simply learn to trust Him. Simply learn to lean on Him when those times come. Jesus is treating us as more than toddlers. A little toddler can't understand that. But as we get a little bit more mature, we can understand that Jesus Christ is God. And He loves you and He loves me. And He longs not only to be your Savior, but to be your Lord and to guide you through this life and to help life make sense. Our Lord has given us 5 reassuring promises here. And I want to go through them slowly. Well, we're going to hit 1 today. We'll hit the other 4 tonight. But these promises will reassure you when the bottom drops that you can still have the joy of the Lord in your heart. Life hurts, and we do grieve. But the Bible says we don't grieve like those that have no hope. We have a hope for this life, and we have a hope for the next life. So the first promise here is found in John chapter 16, verse 22. In fact, 3 of those promises are in these 3 verses. So with you, now is your time of grief. But here's the promise. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice. And no one will take away your joy. In that day, you'll no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you'll receive, and your joy will be complete. Gifted speakers identify the questions in their audience before the audience even has to ask. Jesus knows His disciples are very confused. What does He mean? I'm going to leave you. I'm going to the Father, but I'm going to return. I'm going to be gone a little while, but I'll be right back. What in the world does He mean? Jesus answers their question that they didn't even ask. So, in verse 22, He says, I will see you again. Verse 19 already proved to His disciples that He knew their thoughts before they even asked. In John 16, 19, Jesus saw they wanted to ask Him about this, so He said to them, are you asking one another what I meant when I said, in a little while you'll see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me? He doesn't want you to ask one another. He wants you to go to Him and to the words that He spoke. He wants you to be a student. Charlie Kirk, one of the things he did on the college campuses, he said, you're studying things that are never going to benefit you. Folks, that's so true in so many colleges. Now, there are some professions you need a college education for. But many of those things, I had a niece that went to school, and she studied art appreciation. When she got out of 4 years of college, she became a waitress. Why? Because there's no jobs for that. Folks, a lot of that is like that. He spoke the truth, but many wondered, when are we going to see you again, Jesus? And in John 16, verse 23, He said, in that day, the day you will see me, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Our Lord wants you to know that when you really see Him, your troubles are going to be all over. Because He's not talking about just after 3 days He rose from the dead and He appeared to them. Because what? Their problems weren't all over, were they? Now that was important. It says when the disciples saw the Lord, they rejoiced. Because that meant what? All that He taught me is true. He said, I'm going to be dead 3 days. I'm going to rise again. Here He is. We rejoice. But what happened right after that? Trouble hit again that they didn't understand. Trouble came again. What Jesus is talking about when He comes the second time. In Revelation 21, verse 4, He'll wipe every tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. In this life, we still have confusing things happening all around us, in our families, in our jobs, in our homes, in our churches. There are all kinds of things going on, but there's a day coming. We're going to see the Lord face to face. And when that day comes, I'm never going to be sick again. I'm never going to have back pain. I'm never going to have a shoulder pain. I'm going to have hair like Absalom. I'm not going to need glasses anymore. Folks, I'm rejoicing. I'm looking forward to that day, because when that day comes, from that day all through eternity, you know, we sing Amazing Grace when we've been there 10,000 years. What about when we've been there a billion years or a trillion years? Because you are going to be. Folks, this is just a short time. How long? Well, I'm going to have pain and suffering until the Lord takes me. I'm 78 now, so I've got a little minus sign in front of mine. My time is minus 78 now. I don't know what the final number is, but whatever it is, I'm getting closer. That I'm never going to have pain again. I'm never going to know sorrow. I'm never going to cry. I'm never going to be confused. I'm going to understand as God has understanding for me. I'm going to know what God knows. I'm going to see Him face to face. I'm going to have the joy of the Lord. But what the Lord wants you to learn, and tonight we're going to look deeper into this, the Lord wants you to know that you can have that joy right now. It doesn't mean you're not going to have trouble. But it means in the midst of the trouble, you can quote to yourself Romans 8:28. And again, Romans 8:28 is a very important verse for you to know. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those that do two things. The good of those that love Him, and the good of those that are called according to His purpose. If He allows heartache in your life, somehow He's going to work it for your good. If He allows pain in your life, somehow He's going to not only work it for your good, but it's going to turn out to be a blessing, not just to you, but to all those around you if you'll do two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Your neighbor is yourself. But then live according to God's calling on your life. Don't think you're in charge of your own life, because you are not. God is the shepherd. The sheep are supposed to follow the shepherd. But we want to do it our way. We want it now. We don't want to wait. We're like little children, even though we're 78 years old. Folks, we need to learn God's ways. And as we learn His ways, He's going to fill us with His joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. It'll get you through the worst of times. Because you are going to have some terrible times. You're going to have some wonderful times, and I rejoice. The Lord's given us richly all things to enjoy. But in the midst of all that, He's given us pain and sorrow and heartache too. You need the Lord to walk with you through this life. Father, how we rejoice in Your word. How we rejoice that You know our questions before we even ask them. Father, bless us today. Help us to learn about the joy of the Lord and to walk in it all the days of our life. Now, we're not going to be happy, happy, happy. But we can still have the joy deep in our souls that we know that You are our God. We know that You're working for our good. We know that Your blessings are true, and we're rejoicing just as if we already have them. Help us, Lord, to keep growing in our knowledge and our hunger and our thirst. Because You tell us in Your word, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Fill us to overflowing, Lord, and we'll give You the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.